Hello, and welcome to the Navigating Childhood Cancer Podcast. In this podcast, we explore all aspects of a child's cancer diagnosis. We'll speak with parents, experts, caregivers, and maybe even the children themselves to understand the issues, the risks, the struggles, and the triumphs. My name is Heather, and this is the information I wish I had when my child was diagnosed with leukemia. Thank you for being here, and welcome to episode 10. Today's episode is a solo episode. That means that it's just me today speaking here with you. I have some more interviews coming up, and they're going to be so interesting, and I cannot wait to share them with you. But for today, it's just me. And I'd like to start today with a trigger warning. I am going to reference some statistics about childhood cancer. It's currently the second week of September. For us, it's the first full week of school. The first week back to school, which was last week, is usually a little bit broken up. There's Labor Day on Monday, which is a holiday, and school generally starts on either Tuesday or Wednesday. Sometimes the first day of school is a short day, and in our family, there's always been a little bit of drama around the school bus. Sometimes it's late, sometimes it doesn't show up, so I'm sometimes late getting to my desk as I'm racing around trying to drop kids off at school, or needing to race out early in order to pick them up if the school bus doesn't arrive on time. So the first week of school just isn't always a productive week for me work-wise. This week, because we have 5 full days of school, it means fewer interruptions for me. For someone who's self-employed, that is welcome. The second week of school also means that homework will start to pick up. And that's okay. My kids are mostly independent when it comes to homework, but I still do need to check in. I do so regularly. I step in to help from time to time, and I've actually always enjoyed helping the kids with their homework. It used to be a struggle when they were smaller, getting them to sit still, getting them to remember to bring their notebooks home, trying to figure out what to do when the notebook wasn't in the backpack as it needed to be. And then, of course, Google Classroom came along, and I was bombarded with updates in my inbox. It became tricky to navigate where the homework was going to be posted and what needed to be done, and where it needed to be uploaded once it was finished. I think we all have the hang of it now, but homework is still a pretty big topic, not just in our home, but in general, whether or not it's even appropriate for there to be homework, at what age homework is appropriate, whether we as parents should step in to help. It generally is just a lot of work for everybody. I anticipate that homework will pick up in our house over the coming weeks as we get back into the swing of things at school. To be honest, I'm just really happy that they're all in school this year. I have mentioned in a previous episode that my child, my patient, missed an entire year of school because of treatment. Actually, school was done virtually that year. At that time, in September of 2021, my child was unable to attend school, not only because of the side effects of treatment, but also because the risk of catching COVID was too great that year. So, the first day of school for my child was spent on a computer, attending virtual class, while sitting in a bed at SickKids receiving an hours-long chemotherapy treatment. That was such a crazy time for our family. And it is so hard for me to believe that that was already now 2 years ago. Because of that experience, being back in the classroom is a huge gift for my child and also for me. And I'm wondering, how are you? Do you have little ones in school this year? How was the first week of school? How was the first day? Were there jitters? Were there tears? Was there any restraint collapse at the end of the day? Have you been hearing this term, restraint collapse? I've been hearing a lot about it lately. And it refers to that meltdown that can sometimes happen when kids get home from school. Mostly younger kids. But it's a result of having to hold it together all day, to behave properly, to sit still, to focus on the teacher. When they get home into their safe space, sometimes they just collapse and they melt down, and oftentimes they're hungry because they probably haven't eaten their lunch properly. And it's something that seems to be getting a lot of attention because it's obviously something that happens a lot. And I love that it's getting some attention. It's understanding why a child might be behaving a certain way when they get home from school, and it gives parents some tools for how to deal with it. Maybe they need a little bit of downtime, maybe they need a snack, and maybe they need for us to not be peppering them with questions in that moment when they're just trying to come down from a pretty busy day. Now, if you're a parent of a child who's in treatment for cancer, back to school may be a tricky subject. Is your child actually able to go to school? Is it remote learning for this stage of treatment? Is remote school even still available? Will school be happening part-time, or will it be happening with the help of tutors? And how are you feeling about it all? I recall worrying that the exposure to all the kids that my other children were going to be in contact with might cause new infections to enter into our home, which of course was an issue when my child was so immune compromised. There are other issues as well. How will the child fare among all of the peers who are at school? Do the other kids know what's going on? Will they react to a potential change in a child's experience? Will your child even have the energy to attend school or participate in activities? Will they be able to focus? Will they have the attention span? Or will they be able to retain what they're learning? There are so many questions and so many factors to consider. Of course, as parents, we hope that their studies will not be interrupted by this experience. We don't want them to lose touch with the social side of things. Especially during COVID, we all learned how difficult it was for kids to be isolated from their peers, and indeed from the experience of learning in the classroom. But we also need to be mindful of the health implications and what is actually possible given the reality of our children's treatment. I do plan to do a full episode about school because it's a pretty big subject for us as parents, as well as for our kids. I do have an expert lined up who's going to be able to speak to me about school, offer some suggestions, and maybe some pointers about how we can handle it well. Because our children, even while they're in treatment, need to continue to be involved in whatever level of schooling they're in, whether it's preschool or kindergarten or elementary or high school. And of course, this is a topic that I speak about regularly with other parents. So I look forward to hearing from other parents about how they're handling school with their kids while in treatment. However your family school year is shaping up, I truly hope that it is off to a good start. Today, I'd also like to talk a little bit about the fact that September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So this is amazing. There is so much positive messaging out there, and childhood cancer is getting so much attention. People are so well-meaning, and people, as well as organizations, are doing their best to spread the word, to deliver some emotional messages, some positive messaging, as well as sharing some statistics. Childhood cancer deserves this attention. It deserves funding, it deserves to have amazing spokespeople, and it deserves every ounce of support. One statement I read promised that unlike adult cancers, the cause of most childhood cancers are still unknown, and they are not related to lifestyle and environmental risk factors. Thank you for sharing that. It does help with the guesswork that surrounded my child's diagnosis. As you can imagine, one of the first things I thought about when my child was diagnosed was, what did I do wrong? Did I feed my kids the wrong foods? Did they not get enough sleep? Was there a medication I took or something I ate maybe during my pregnancy that created the situation? I was assured by my child's doctor that this was absolutely not the case. But the thoughts, of course, do always swirl. Seeing this message was my reminder to let go of that guilt and that worry, because I am not responsible for my child's illness. I'm going to say that again. I am not responsible for my child's illness, and neither are you. As a parent, I find some of the statistics surrounding childhood cancer to be triggering. As an example, one statistic states that over 80% of children survive cancer. So this is a statistic that comes from the National Cancer Institute. And of course, that is fantastic news. 80%, it's such a big number. But in those dark moments, as a parent, it's hard not to think about that 20%. If I think about it in terms of other areas of our life, a 20% chance of a negative outcome is actually a number that we probably would not be accepting. So while I believe in focusing on the positive and being optimistic and having every reason to believe that we're going to be part of that 80%, it's still sometimes hard to see that statistic published because it's a reminder of the fact that there is still a 20% chance. It is also sobering to know that even though a child may survive cancer, it doesn't necessarily mean that the ordeal is over once the treatment is over. Okay, so don't get me wrong. It is such a relief. My child is on track to finish treatment within the next few weeks, and we will be celebrating big time when that happens. But I recently read that 95% of childhood cancer survivors will have a chronic health problem by the age of 45. And the source of that statistic is St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. So that was actually news to me. I certainly expected that there might be some complications following treatment and that my child is going to be monitored for some time after treatment ends. But when I read that statistic, of course, my mind started to race again. What constitutes a chronic health problem? How many years before this might start to seep into my child's life? How am I supposed to sleep well at night with that statistic looming over my head? So this means that in addition to what our family has already been through, we'll have even more health issues to deal with before my child even reaches the age that I am now. It is so sobering. Again, the optimist in me hopes that maybe that number will improve in the next 20 years, and maybe there will be advances that cause that number to drop. Maybe. And I sure hope so. But maybe not. It's just a lot, frankly, and it adds to the mental load of this experience. Of course, my mind also goes to the other parents who are also seeing these messages. How are you responding to the statistics that might be popping up in your email or on your social feeds this month? Don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled with the good news stories. And I love, again, that childhood cancer is getting this attention. I also think it's important for us all to be aware of the statistics so that we can brace ourselves and have realistic expectations about the future. I'm just acknowledging that it can leave us a little raw and maybe a little wanting for a break from the information by the end of this month. So overall, I'm very pleased to know that there is a Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and I do want to do my part to help to spread the word and with this podcast share the experiences of others who are walking this path. I guess I'm just saying to those of you who are listening now, tread lightly this month while all this information is swirling around us. And if you feel the need to turn it off because the statistics are triggering for you, then know that I'm doing the same. With that, I'd like to just say a few things to any parents out there who may be listening. You are the ones that this podcast is truly meant for. And I know that you're listening too, because I've heard from some of you. And I'm so touched every time I either speak with or receive a message from another parent. I'd just like to offer a few words of encouragement today because I've had some reminders lately of how difficult things can be at various stages of treatment. And I expect that what you and your family may be going through this week is likely very hard. Even the talk of back to school may be difficult for some of you to hear. And if so, I'm sorry. I never want this podcast to be the source of difficult information for somebody. I remember when people talking about returning to school was heartbreaking to me. Even though it feels overwhelming, please know that you are doing such an important job right now, supporting your child through treatment. Everything that you're doing is everything that your child needs right now. Even if you're not doing anything except bringing water or laying beside your child on the bed, or working on the computer beside your child on the bed. I want to acknowledge that this is hard, this is heavy, and it hurts us both physically and emotionally to see our kids suffer. I expect that you probably need a little TLC right now too. It has occurred to me that this podcast could be a way for parents in the thick of it to reach out for help to others in their lives by sharing this podcast and saying, hey, this is what it's like for us right now, or these are some things that might help us. So if you're a parent and you want to get this message out to others in your life, just share this episode or another episode with your people. And if you're a family member or a friend who is supporting someone with a child in treatment, and you've been sent this episode, please just reach out to your friend or loved one to see how they're doing. You might not know exactly what to say, but sometimes just letting them know that you're thinking of them can help. Maybe offer to bring dinner or a coffee, or to take the other kids out, or to take the dog for a walk. Maybe ask them if they'd like to go for a walk, or just ask them if there's anything they need in this moment and give them the space that they need to answer. I heard a beautiful quote recently by the poet Andrea Gibson. She said, "Even if the truth isn't hopeful, the telling of it is." We saw some friends this weekend who were asking about things, and we talked about our experience with our child's cancer for about an hour, which is actually the longest I've spoken about it in a really long time. I loved that conversation. Now that we're through some of the hardest parts, I felt I was able to be honest about some of the things that I had been unable to say earlier in my child's treatment. The telling, as Andrea puts it, the telling of it helped me so much. Saying it out loud after carrying it in my heart for these past 2 years, it felt hopeful, and it was a relief. I've never felt that I'm in a position to tell anyone else what to do. The purpose of this podcast is not to be instructional. It's only to share my experience and my feelings as a mother and as a person. And of course, I hope to share the stories of others. So I'm not telling you to go out and talk about it. I'm just telling you that for me, the telling of it this past weekend did feel hopeful, as Andrea said it would. And I felt it was important for me to share that with you in this episode. Finally, I'd like to say a few words of gratitude to a very special person who's been working behind the scenes on this podcast since before it was even launched. This is my producer, my sound editor, my mixer, my website creator, and my nephew Wallace. As you can imagine, it was not easy for me to get this podcast off the ground. This is not my area of expertise, and I worked for months on it before I was even able to release an episode because I struggled so much with the technical aspects, the microphone, the recording platform, the editing. Wallace stepped up and offered to help me, and together we were able to figure things out and actually make the podcast happen. He helped me to build my website. He taught me to use the equipment, and for the past few months, he takes my recordings, mixes them to create a finished product that I can then upload to the podcast server and deliver to you each week. He also publishes the episode on the website and on YouTube, among many other countless tasks. Well, Wallace is a university student, and he's now started back at school. While I hope to continue to have him involved, I'm also very excited about all that he has going on this year and all that he's going to learn this year at school. It has been such a pleasure for me to have his support, but also to have the opportunity to work with him as a young professional and to see the knowledge and creativity that he has brought to this project. Wallace, I can't tell you how much I appreciate everything you've done, because I could not have made this happen without you. I also look forward to all of the input that you'll have going forward. But in the meantime, thank you so much for what you've done so far, and I wish you only the best as you start this exciting year ahead at university. I'd also like to thank my brother, Eddie. Eddie is someone who is a resource for me whenever I have a question about something to do with work or life, and he had a lot of great insight for me as well when I was starting to think about this podcast. He's also been somebody who has encouraged me from the beginning. When I couldn't figure out the technical stuff, or when I had a little bit of imposter syndrome and said, why would anybody want to listen to this? He was always the first one to say, just do it. Just do it. Just get it out there. It helps a lot to have somebody in your corner cheering you on that way. So I'd like to say thank you to him as well. Eddie, I acknowledge that this podcast likely would not have happened without your help too. To both Wallace and Eddie, I appreciate everything that you've done to get me here, and I'm excited to be here I'm really enjoying this project. And as I mentioned, I'm so excited about all of the guests that have come forward, the guests that have agreed to speak with me. It's taking time to make it all happen, but it feels like time well spent. And if only one person hears this episode, then I'm going to be pleased about our outcome. So thank you for joining me today. If you'd like to learn more, you can find us online at navigatingchildhoodcancer.com and on social media at NCC Podcast. If you and your family are on this journey, I am so sorry. I hope that you'll stay and listen and that you'll find something valuable here. If you'd like to share your perspective, please reach out. If you know someone whose child is living with a cancer diagnosis, I also invite you to stick around and to share this podcast with your community. Truly, we can only get through this together.